And welcome to our assembly tonight. And my sermon will definitely be less than an hour long. Have you ever found yourself upset with God? You know, just on the surface of it, seems like a silly thing, doesn't it? And yet, I think we've all been there. We all have our perception of how things ought to go. And we believe in God. We believe that He is involved, that He is active, that He responds to our prayers, and that He cares for us. We believe that. And yet sometimes things don't go our way. They don't go the way that we think they ought to go. And that's upsetting. It's so upsetting sometimes that we actually get upset with God Himself. And we wonder why He hasn't intervened or He hasn't done something about the thing that's upsetting us. Sometimes, and it probably doesn't happen to us very much because we're dedicated to submitting to God's will, but sometimes the very thing that God says, the very thing that God commands, is upsetting to people. They don't like to hear what God says. Makes them mad. And of course, the logical thing, whether it be us who might be upset with God for something he has done or hasn't done, our perception that He hasn't done, or if it's something that He specifically says, whatever it is that God has said or done that upsets you, the logical conclusion from that is, of course, is that you're just being stupid. You're just not thinking straight about that. And yet we do it anyway. And it's just so fascinating and so interesting that there are stories in the Bible about people who do the very thing that I'm talking about. Even men of God, even people who God has called and has chosen to use in His service. And one of the great examples of that, of course, is Jonah. I want to talk about Jonah for a few moments tonight, who found himself in a position of being displeased with God. And my lesson is not necessarily about Jonah or his situation. It's just about this point that he gets in his life where he's not happy with God. And thinking about that. You all know the story of Jonah. Jonah was called by God to go and preach to the Ninevites, the capital of Assyria, Nineveh. And these are foreigners. These are pagans. These are people who are not only foreign to Israel, you know, the place where Jonah lives. Jonah's an Israelite. They're not only foreigners. They're not only pagans, idol worshippers. They're enemies. They are the enemies of Israel, caused no end of trouble to Israel, and eventually conquered Israel and destroyed Israel. And so for all of those reasons, Jonah hated the Ninevites. The Ninevites, the people of Assyria, were brutal and cruel and hated. They weren't nice people, not nice people at all. And so when God calls Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go preach to these people and warn them because I'm going to destroy them unless they repent. And Jonah's take on that was, I hope you do destroy them. I hope they don't repent. I don't want them to repent. I do want you to destroy them, and I don't want any part of trying to talk them out of it. Doesn't really say that to God. He just gets on a boat and goes the other direction. He runs away. He tries to get away from God and away from God's mission, the mission that he didn't want to go on. And yet God reaches out and, of course, in the midst of the ocean and kind of puts his hand on Jonah through the storm and having him cast overboard. And, of course, the great sea creature, whatever it was, that swallows Jonah. And Jonah learns a lesson. You can't get away from God. You can't get away from God's mission. And God spares Jonah in spite of the ordeal that he goes through. And so after surviving that ordeal, God calls Jonah again, says, I want you to go talk to the Ninevites. And he does. He goes and he preaches to them. What choice does he have? If he tries to run away again, God can just come snag him again. So he does it. He does exactly what God tells him to do. And he preaches to the Ninevites. And lo and behold, they do the exact thing that Jonah didn't want them to do. They repent. And there are so many great lessons in that whole story, and perhaps one of the best lessons is the fact that God can use people in His service who are reluctant to be in His service. He can use you and me. And we may not be good at our job. We may not even want to be doing our job, and God can still use us. He can make use of us. But we get to the part where Jonah gets upset. Right here at the end of chapter 3, when God saw what they did, he's talking about the Ninevites, they repented, they responded to Jonah's message. God said, I'm going to wipe you people out, and they repented. They said, you know, we're sorry, and they asked for God's forgiveness. And God saw what they did, Jonah 3:10, how they turned from their evil way, and God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This doesn't necessarily mean that they converted from paganism to belief in the one Jehovah God. Doesn't mean that they necessarily were saved in the end, eternally. I sort of doubt if it means any of those things. It just meant that they went from being really terrible to a whole lot less terrible, maybe, or whatever it was that God was asking them to do. And they genuinely did express remorse for whatever it was. And so God relented in destroying them. He didn't destroy them. It doesn't mean they were necessarily saved in their souls or anything. But he didn't destroy them, which is the thing that Jonah wanted to see happen. Jonah wanted to see them destroyed. And God said, I'm not going to destroy them. Because they repented. And that made Jonah mad. That right there. And of course, the thing that you need to know about God is that He's this way. This is the way God is. If you repent and relent, God will relent. God will repent and relent. He'll change. He will change what He's intending to do to you if you change your mind in response to His message. And that's just the way God is. And you can get mad about that, of course. From our standpoint, there's no reason to be mad about that. That seems like a great thing. It's a really useful thing. It's something that we make use of all the time. And yet, the very simple, basic point is that this is the kind of God that we have. And He's not going to change that. He is a forgiving God. He is a God who responds when we respond. And that's wonderful. That's a great thing about God. But God has lots of qualities and lots of characteristics and lots of attributes that He's also not going to change. He is what He is. And best to build with Him and around Him rather than against Him. When God saw what they had done, they turned from their evil way. God relented. And we can do that too. That's always within our capability. The more important thing, of course, would be with respect to our own souls. If God is asking you to repent, if He's asking you to change, you need to do that. Because He's not going to change. He's not going to change His intentions. He will forgive you if you change, but He's not going to change. So work with God, not against Him. But Jonah didn't like that. He did not like, we go into chapter 4 and verse 1, Jonah did not like what God had decided to do, and it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And that's, of course, the basis of my sermon. He was very angry with God. He was upset. As illogical as you might imagine that being, a man who is a man of God, a man who knows God's ways and attributes, And yet, still, all the same, Jonah was mad. He got mad. Because what he thought God should do, God didn't do. But as illogical and as nonsensical as it is, that's exactly what we human beings do. Because we feel passionate. We feel so very strongly about certain things, about the way that it should be. And God doesn't seem to agree with the way that I think it should be. And it makes you mad if you're so inclined. And I've known people, you try to talk to them about God, and either something God has done in their perception or not done, or something that He has said or not said, and they just get angry. I mean belligerent angry. And I don't know what to do with that. But I know that I can't be that way, like Jonah was. Here's a man of God, a prophet of God, a man that God had chosen and used to execute His will, and yet he is angry with God. He is beside himself. He's so angry. And he prays. He prays to God. And again, you know, God responds to prayer. We've already seen in this text where the Assyrians repented and they prayed and they asked for God's forgiveness, and God granted it. But when you ask for something that is against God's will and contrary to God's will, and you know it's against God's will, and you know it's contrary to God's will, you cannot expect Him to respond positively to that. But that's exactly what Jonah does. Jonah prays. He prays to the Lord. And he says, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. I knew this was going to happen. I knew you were going to do this. It made me so mad, the very possibility that you would do this, that I did not want to do it. I did not want to preach to these people. I ran as far away as I could, and still you made me come here and preach to these people, and they repented." Can you imagine that? A preacher getting angry that he was effective. "I can't believe I did a good job." But that's how he was. I can't believe that you did this. Which is interesting, because you would think that after going through that whole process of running away, of being swallowed by that, you know, being tossed over in the storm, being swallowed by the animal, spending 3 days in the belly of that beast, and then being vomited up on the beach and surviving all of that, you would think that Jonah would change his tune and say, "You know what, God, whatever you want, whatever your plan is, I'm down with it. Let's just do whatever you want, God." But he still wasn't that way. In spite of all of that, in spite of that whole experience, Jonah was still saying, "I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to do this. Why did you make me do this? I don't understand." That's the way he was. And we don't change what we're passionate about overnight. We don't change our opinion or our minds very often just because God says so. In fact, very often when you say, "Well, God says so," it just makes people mad. And in this case, it's continuing to make Jonah mad. It shouldn't, but it did. Verse 2, continuing, "For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." Now, when you read those words about God, you think, "Well, that's great. That's great that God's that way. I'm so glad that God's that way, because I need Him to be that way. We all need Him to be that way. And where would we be without these qualities of God? We'd be utterly, completely, hopelessly lost if God wasn't this way. And yet the way that Jonah looked at this, I can't believe that you're so forgiving. I can't believe you're so merciful to even forgive these Assyrians. I knew you were that way." Well, he is. Now, usually when people get angry with God these days, it's on the other side of the coin. They say, I just, God is just so judgmental and so harsh and so demanding and so, you know, authoritative. And the God that you portray to me, I just can't believe in a God like that, because he's just, you know, he won't let me live this way, or he condemns these people. And well, that's another aspect of God's character that you have to deal with. You have to come to accept. Jonah, kind of absurdly, but nonetheless, the same kind of attitude. He couldn't accept God's mercy. He just couldn't. It made him mad that God was so merciful. Makes some people mad that God's so merciless, at least the way they see God. But when we have a problem with God's quality or nature or character, we're just being stupid. And that's exactly how Jonah's being on this occasion. And he says this a lot in this text. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. You know, I don't know if Jonah can make up his mind. Because when he was in the belly of that beast, and he most surely was going to die, you know what he prayed for? He prayed to live. He wanted to live. Please, Lord, deliver me. And God did. And now he says, please, God, kill me. Just kill me now. And I think it's humorous, and yet I just don't know how serious he was. But I can tell you this, there are people who get so upset and so despondent in their life that they talk like this. I just want to die. Please, God, just let me die. And it's terrible that a person gets into that situation. It is. It's sad. And it's not right. It's not right that we say things like this. It wasn't right for Jonah to say it. He wasn't right in his thinking about God or about what God had done or what God was going to do. And so his anger is misplaced. This request to die is misplaced. And God says so. The Lord said to him, do you have good reason to be angry? And that's the question. That is the thing that whenever we differ with God, especially when we're angry with God, especially when we get upset with God or we have a big problem with what God has said or done, we need to stop and ask ourselves this question. Do you have a right to be angry? And of course, the answer to that rhetorical question is no. Jonah is going to continue to argue with God, as we'll see. But no, you don't have a right to be angry with God. And yet God allows you to be angry for a while. He doesn't smite you dead on the spot because you have the effrontery to question him or to yell at him. I've known of people who yelled at God. They just screamed at God and said hateful things to God. God didn't just strike them dead with a lightning bolt. I mean, he gives us time to work that thing out. Not forever. You can't stay angry with God and work things out with God. It's not going to happen. At some point, somebody's going to have to give, and God's not going to give. So sooner or later, you need to get over that anger. You need to get over that, you know, those feelings. You must. Because God is just going to confront you one day and says, you know, did you have a right to be angry? No. Here's the thing. If there is a God, and by God we mean someone who is absolutely perfect in wisdom and judgment and knowledge and power and might, and everything that he does and everything that he says is perfect, then when we have a disagreement, I and God, I'm the one who's at fault. And it has always been the case, it will always be the case. And what we have to do is we have to back up and say, you know, I must not be looking at this right. There is something that I'm missing here, something that I don't understand, something that I am not seeing. There's a reason why God wanted me to preach to these Ninevites. There's a reason why he wanted them to repent. They did repent. There's a reason why God is choosing to forgive them. I don't know what that reason is. Doesn't make any sense to me, but God must know what he's doing because he's God and I'm not. And I'm just going to have to accept and get on board with that and be happy with that, because sooner or later, all of my joy and all of my happiness and all of my hope lies in cooperation with God. And it can't be had any other way. And so my best hope, all that I aspire to, all that I dream for, all of it is wrapped up in this God, whom I've got a problem with at this point, but I know that I'm wrong and he's right and I need to change my thinking. And that's just what you got to do. And it's not easy to do, but that's what you got to do. Well, Jonah was not done in his feud against God. He just went out to the east of the city. He made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. He just still hoped that somehow God would destroy this city. Maybe things will turn around here. Maybe God will see things my way. Maybe God will come around. I don't know what he was saying. He just sat out there, and I could just see him out there just exasperated and fuming and, just beside himself, not happy. He makes cobbles himself together this little shelter and plops down there and just sits there and waits. So God wasn't done with Jonah yet, which is really a good thing, really, that God doesn't give up on us, that he doesn't just say, man, this guy is worthless. this guy is not worth messing with anymore. He doesn't do that. He's still trying to teach, O Jonah. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. It's amazing the things that can make us happy sometimes. But God did this. God did something for Jonah. He made this plant. God made it happen. He made this plant. And it must have been something that happened. Well, it says it grew up, over Jonah. I imagine it was probably something that happened pretty quickly. And it may even have been something that Jonah recognized as being from God. But God did it. He did that for Jonah. Now, we're going to see what God's going to do next. And this is not like God saying to Jonah, I'm sorry, here, let me make amends. Let me grow this plant over you and give you some shade. That's not what God's up to. And sometimes God does that. Through God's providential care, I can't say necessarily what God does or what God doesn't do, but you might entertain the concept of the idea that sometimes, in order to help you out, God will do something for you and then take it away. Because he's trying to teach you something. Because he certainly was in this occasion. He caused this plant to grow up over Jonah, and he was happy about it. He was, this is so great. Oh, I love this little vine. This is the best thing in the world, this vine. It gives me shade. And of course, God's trying to make the point to Jonah that his priorities are all messed up. He doesn't understand what's important, what's not important, because what was important to Jonah on this occasion was this plant. And you think about all of the things that people get so excited about in life and they're so happy about, the little things that matter so much to them and they just get so much joy and thrill out of them. That's not necessarily a bad thing, except that if that's all that you care about, if that's where all your focus is upon something that is so temporary and so really unimportant in the final scheme of things, then maybe God best take that away from you. And of course, that's exactly what God did. God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day and attacked the plant and it withered. And so it grew up overnight and it was so great and it gave Jonah shade. He was so happy about it. And then God, in just the same amount of time, a worm struck it and killed it, withered it up. And I can just see Jonah waking up and looking at his mouth and getting so upset. Oh, I can't believe my plant is dead. God killed my plant, and the sun arose, and God provided a scorching east wind. And, there's providence for you right there, buddy. God provided a scorching east wind. Sometimes God provides some things we don't like too much. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. I don't know about you. I always picture Jonah as being bald-headed. I'm sorry. sun just blazing down on him. And he wanted to die. There you go. He grew faint. He wanted to die. He said it. It would be better for me to die than to live. He said it again. He wanted to die because a plant died and it was hot. That's why he wanted to die. Well, there's some other things he wasn't happy about, but it just brought it all back to him again, how unhappy he was, how God was not doing things the way that he wanted them to be done, and God had done this and just teased him with this plant and then taken it away. I just want to die. And it's surprising and amazing to me sometimes the things about which people get upset, even to the point of wanting to die. And very often, they're not that important. And there's tragic stories that you've probably heard in the news about, especially young people that kill themselves over really, really small, unimportant things. And that is such a tragedy. But really, anything in this life, anything that is temporary and of this world, it's not worth dying for. It's certainly not worth destroying your relationship with God over. But Jonah was unhappy. He said, it would be better for me to die than live. And God said to him again, he said, Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? Is this really something you ought to be mad about? And Jonah said, yes. he doesn't think about it. He just keeps on arguing with God. Yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. Here's a man arguing with God himself, saying, God, this plant was so important to me that I want to die over this plant. Well, I know that usually when people say things like that in a prayer to God, I just want to die, usually it's over something a little more substantial, a little more important than a plant. And yet, is it? Because, to die angry at God, that is to risk something that is eternal. And eternity is a very, very long time. Plant came up overnight, the plant died overnight. What does the plant matter? But your soul? And that's what God says to Jonah. He says, you pity the plant. Verse 10 of Jonah 4, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. It's just so temporary. And you didn't make it. You didn't take it away. You have nothing to do with this plant. Why is this plant so important to you? You think about it, Jonah. Think about what you're saying. You're saying that you want to die because of this plant. Now, you take the word plant out of it and put anything in that space. Anything in this world that comes up overnight and goes away overnight that you didn't make happen and you can't take away, and it doesn't. It's the same thing. Anything you want to put in the space plant there, in this world, it's the same message. Why are you so upset about that? God says, here's something you ought to be upset about. He says, and should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle. Now, it's generally understood that reference, 120,000, to those who don't know their right hand from the left, are children and babies who are young enough that they don't know. They're not even old enough to know their right from the left. And the death of any one of them would be a tragedy, yeah, to their family, to the people who care about them, and to God. God doesn't want to have to destroy this city. He cares about those people. He cares about their souls. He even cares about the animals. But Jonah didn't. Jonah was so upset about the plant that he didn't care anything about those people, those babies, those children. And his priorities were all out of whack. He wasn't looking at it correctly. He wasn't looking at it the way that God looked at it. And God was looking at it right, and Jonah was looking at it wrong. And that's our problem. And that's why we get angry with God. And that's why we argue with God. And that's why we spurn God sometimes. It's because we're not thinking straight. We're not thinking the way that we ought to think about things. Souls are important. People are important. And that's what God cares about. And that's what God's trying to save. He's trying to save your soul. He's trying to save my soul. And rather than get angry about that, get angry with God about what He's trying to do, we need to understand that what God's trying to do is the best possible thing for everybody involved. You know, we all have our own ideas about what God should do. Everybody has advice to give to God. What we should learn from this story is that it should not surprise us if sometimes what God does makes us angry because His concerns are not our concerns. His priority, His agenda is not our priorities, our agenda. And you just need to realize that. God has bigger fish to fry. And sometimes that means that your fish don't get fried. Sometimes things don't work out the way that you want to. But God's doing what He needs to do for the best possible outcome of all involved. Now, our choices are involved, just like the Ninevites had the choice to repent or not repent, and Jonah had the choice to accede to God's wishes or not. We have that choice as well. But God is trying to save us. That is His concern, and we need to get on board with that. Should accept His will and rejoice that He's so good. Rather than be angry because God doesn't always do what we want Him to do, we should be happy that He doesn't always do what we want Him to do. Because let me tell you something, if God always did what Doug Raymer wanted Him to do, this world would be a lot more messed up than it is. And people wouldn't stand a chance. So, don't be angry with God. Work with Him. Obey Him. Follow Him. Learn to tune your will and your outlook and your attitude to what He teaches in His Word. And turn your anger into contentment and joy. And if you want to do that tonight, declare your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, just like Jonah was 3 days in that big sea creature, Jesus was 3 days in the earth, and He rose from the dead and stands at the right hand of God, and He calls to you through the gospel to acknowledge Him, to obey Him. Accede to God's wishes tonight. Declare your faith in Jesus. Repent like the Ninevites repented. God will forgive you. If you will obey the gospel, be baptized for the remission of your sins, God will forgive you. That's what God does. And He'll do it tonight if you'll come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.